Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK. Forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. So save England and the UK.
Most certainly do love our land. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com, English Defence League radio station, the voice of the EDL. And tonight, the producer of the show we've got, and of course she's got a new nickname tonight, and of course it's our very own Kel, a.k.a. the Red Fox. And tonight she does something very special for Kel, It's her 25th anniversary, so she's the anniversary gal tonight. So let me bring Kellyn. Congratulations to you and hubby, 25 years of marriage.
Hi,
absolutely
Jeff.
Fantastic.
Hi, Jeff.
Absolutely. What can I say? I'm so pleased. Yeah, it's great, Kel. 25 years. My goodness me. Can you believe it?
we're doing something very special tomorrow.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, what you go for a meal? You going doing something? What are you doing, Kel?
Oh, we're going out for supper.
Hey!
But tonight we're having Chinese with sake wine.
Oh, very nice. Well, what can I say about that? You know, I love a Chinese meal. So good on you and hubby. I'm a bit rude here. We've got the old Slinky Cat here. Slinky was his nickname tonight. I'll tell you what. I hardly see him when he comes through the cat flap. He did normally makes a bit of a noise because he gets his little bell caught, doesn't he, Kel? You know, as he comes through the cat flap, he gets it caught and he makes such a racket with his claws and that, then he's trying to get through. But tonight he was very quiet. And, of course, that's our very own Mr. Tim Burton, Cat Strangler 101. Welcome to the show, Tim. You're looking well, mate. You're looking well.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Jeff. Good evening, Jeff. And good evening, Kel. And,
Hi, Tim. Hi, Tim.
Comments about your 25th anniversary reminded me of when I had my own 25th wedding anniversary many years ago. Somebody remarked at the time, 25 years, eh? You don't get that long for murder, do you? And of course, the other thing is when what you were saying about having a Chinese meal, I remember the last time I was in the Hong Kong Hilton. And it was really packed in there and really crowded and noisy. And my mate said to me, he says, what do you fancy doing for a meal tonight? And I said, I could bloody murder a Chinese. And it all went all very quiet. And then we sort of got up and scuttled off quickly because we thought people might not have appreciated it. But anyway, apart from that, I hope you have a really great weekend, Kel. There's,
wait, thank you, Tim.
Yeah, that's
it
right.
Has been, quite the 25 years, it's been an amazing ride. It's been wonderful. So,
too much information.
To reach this milestone, I still remember my wedding day. We actually eloped, and my parents were rather unhappy with that. But we had a nice party afterwards. We had a nice reception with all our friends and family, and we did it that way. But we just didn't want to have all the hubbubaloo of a big wedding or anything like that. We were never particularly interested in that sort of thing. That was never really something that we wanted to drag everybody into. So we went to the Justice of the Peace on a Tuesday afternoon, and we got married at 2:30 in the afternoon. An hour ago, 25 years ago, married my man. So there you are.
Well, lovely. Well, like I say, I hope you have a great, great weekend. So what have we got on the menu for tonight then, Kel?
We've got all sorts of tomfoolery.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yes, and there was me thinking we'd be discussing some serious topics, but no, I'm only kidding.
We all do, though, Tim, didn't we?
Yeah, I have actually.
We have serious issues, definitely, for sure. And I was speaking with Jeff, as a matter of fact, about a few things that had been going through my mind, and that let me see, I wanted to talk about something in particular. I wanted to talk about Simon's Cat and Scary Legs, Jeff.
Oh, my goodness me. Oh,
no. I'm kidding.
Well, as I say, that the ladies and gentlemen out there probably wonder what we're on about. And we were just having a bit of a light-hearted moment yesterday. Kel said to me, have you checked Simon and Simon's cats out? So I had a look it in. There was one with a spider on, and I returned the favour to Kel. Of course, we had a bit of a laugh about it. And so, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we was just making a comment about. So, probably a lot of listeners probably understood exactly what we was talking about because we did discuss it a little bit last night, didn't we? It was just light-hearted moments that we have now and again. We're not all serious all the time, especially on a Friday evening, which is normally Comedy Central. But we do talk about serious issues at the topical at this moment in time as well, especially in the world of Islam. It just keeps giving. It just keeps killing. It just keeps getting worse. There you go. That sums Islam up in about three sentences, doesn't it, Tim?
Yes, very, very, very succinct. I think we should get another T-shirt made up. Yes. I could just see that.
But that's the point. As I say, we do, you know, on a Friday night, sometimes we let our hair down, what hair we've got. I mean, Tim, we had comment last night that Tim's turning into a hippie. So,
oh, yes, the old silver hair. Locks, yes.
Silver locks.
Yeah, that's it. We were discussing this last night, weren't we? We got the red
we
fox,
certainly was.
The silver fox, and Jeff
the silver fox. We got the red fox, we got the silver slinky fox now. But yeah, then you go, hang about, it's gone a little bit away from the cat theme a little bit there. We must keep on the path of the cat theme, Tim, you know. We can't let you get away with a silver fox. No, that takes Kel's thunder away a little bit when we use it.
Yeah, that's true. We'll have to work in a cat meme into this.
Otherwise, it's
obviously
catastrophic.
Well, quite. I mean, you know, when people talk about us in 1,000 years, they'll say, "Do you remember when the final crusade against Islam began? Who was at the forefront? It was the red fox, the silver cat, and who was the other one? Oh yeah, Jeff the arachnophobe. That was the one.
Yeah.
No, Jeff, Jeff the arachnophobe.
Yeah, Jeff the
arachnophobe. That arachnophobe fella.
We need
imagine it.
We need something.
I don't think. I'll be quite honest with you, Tim. We've mentioned that before. The way that historians will look back at this time, and they will probably think the what we think at this moment, that the way that the politicians and political correctness, this cancer called political correctness, has been destroying our nations. And you get people in charge, like we look at what's going on in America with the Joker, Obama. I mean, my goodness me, what he's doing to that great nation, and it makes me weep for the people of America that they can do much better. And it's the same with us in the UK, Tim, with the likes or the Ikes, the Camerons, the Cleggs, and all the rest of those show of crap that we've got before us. Future historians will look back, and it's people like us who speak out, the ones who take the flak because they do not like us, to speak out against this cult called Islam. That is the case, isn't it, Tim? But you know
it
what?
Is, yeah. They don't like it up, do they, Captain Mannering?
They don't like it
they
up,
don't
Mr.
Like it up them. Yeah.
They don't like it, Mr. Mannering.
Yes.
Fuzzy wuzzies.
That's very politically incorrect, Jeff.
Well, come on, Tim. We don't pledge ourselves as being a political correct radio station. Never have done. If that was the case, I'll take us off the airwaves, Tim.
Very true.
You know, this is it. Right from the beginning, in its care, we've always said that you come to this area, and we'll say, if you haven't been offended, well, why not? And call in if you haven't been offended.
I know. Like, what are we doing wrong?
We haven't offended anybody.
We're an equal opportunities offending radio stations. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes, I mean, that's it. I mean, and all we do is all we've always said that we wanted to get across is the truth, the what's going on, the way that the media tries to bury stories. We don't allow that to happen. We like our listeners, the good people, the public, to know exactly what's going on in their countries. Because we're not just talking about the UK, are we, Tim? Are we still? We are talking about other nations around the world that are suffering from the same problems that what we got, that the Islamizations of their countries, of their nations. And are we going to allow it to happen? No, we're bloody not. And we'll do anything we can to stop it. And some of the points that you make, is how we can do it without shedding blood on the streets and things like that, is the way forward, Tim. The 17 points, I think it is, that we've talked about many times on the show, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. I think you're talking about the 18 point platform from the FBI.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, 17 plus one, the 18 yeah. point platform from the American Freedom Defense Initiative. That was started by Pamela Geller and Robert Spencer. Yes, I'll find the link to that and put it in during the course of the program tonight. I just noticed that Bigfoot says that future historians will note that Jeff was not an Islamophobe, but an arachnophobe. And how difficult it was for him to explain the difference. Well, it's quite simple, Jeff. Arachnophobia is very like Islamophobia, only it's the web version. So you have to take that into account.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's like the web version.
Thank you, Bigfoot. Bigfoot's joining in on the arachnophobe frame as well.
Oh, actually, I have to thank Bigfoot. While we're on the topic of men with a very large feet, I want to thank Bigfoot in particular because he helped me premise my show for later tonight. So Bigfoot, he unbeknownst to Bigfoot, he played a big role in how I'm premising my show tonight.
Thank you, Bigfoot. So what's this, Kel, about men with very large feet? Is this some sort of urban myth that I haven't
yeah,
heard of?
I was thinking the same, Jim.
Would you like to
explain? The legend of Boggy Creek. Do you know that there was a story, it was a few years back, but apparently a family was camping, and the little child wandered off. And they were looking frantically for her. They were searching all over the place in the forest, and they could not find her. And so they went back to base camp. And the little girl, I think it was a little girl, was there. And they swore that they saw something big and hairy walking away. Bigfoot probably saved the life of a little girl lost in the forest.
Wow.
And I'm not kidding. This was actually written up in mainstream media.
Well, there you go. There's a lot. There's been lots of different sightings, and it's still a bit bewildering because there hasn't been no direct proof as such that it could be fictional. But it's like the Loch Ness monster, things like that. So people say that they've seen it. A lot of people think it's a hoax. It's a way to get tourists there. You don't know with these things. I do believe myself personally there is an element of truth in it, that there could be a certain creature that might be roaming about with very large feet. you don't know. But it's always interesting. I think it's a very topical thing as well.
We're not really talking about EDL business right now, but this is kind of fun. And Bigfoot just put in the chat room, in the southeastern U.S., there's a mythical monster called the Belt Road Booger, and that could be a cousin of Bigfoot's. And, it's true. When Oregon, Washington, the West Coast in the United States, and in British Columbia, Canada, there have been sightings in the past. Now, I'm just going to put my tinfoil hat on for a moment, gentlemen, so indulge me. But there have been sightings in the past, and I went to a show, and the host is rather credible. No, it wasn't, what's his name? Oh, what's the... There's a... an American network.
Oh,
I can't remember what they're called, but they constantly have their tin hats on. If somebody in the chat room can help me out with that. But no, not that show, not that network, but another show in that they were talking about the legend of Bigfoot and the Sasquatch, and I found it rather fascinating. Now, in Canada, as everybody knows, we're fairly isolated. The emphasis of our population is around the southern border. There is a lot of territory in Canada that has never even been seen. So who
it's
are
true.
We to
no.
say that it, there is not something out there that does not exist? Who are we to say?
No, I mean, this is it. If it's never been, not a human foot's been ever trod on the land, who's to say what might be there? Some unexplored land. And as you say, Canada is absolutely enormous, isn't it, Kel? Especially the outbacks and that. And it's an amazing countryside. And as you say, who's to say that some of these legends haven't sort of popped up from, say, the middle of Canada or something like that? Who's to say? I find it fascinating, actually, these topical issues, which it's always been out there. There's always someone making comments about, or you see something in the paper about, and there was a sighting people think they saw this the Bigfoot Sasquatch, and I'm always fascinated, probably like yourself, probably like Tim, and like many others. Is there an element of truth in it?
Well, you know what Shakespeare said about there being more things in heaven and
in
earth,
heaven and
Horatio,
earth.
Than are dreamt of in your philosophy. So there are plenty of people out there who think that we have discovered everything there is to be discovered, but I'm sure it isn't true, and there are a lot of things that are going to come to light in the future and going to
exactly.
be very, very surprised about them.
And ladies and gentlemen, we just want to welcome you to the Friday day edition of the East... I nearly did it again, Jeff. The EDL radio show, and we are currently discussing phenomena. We have covered Bigfoot. We're moving on to Yeti next, and then after that, we'll be discussing ghosts. So, we're
welcome.
So glad you're here.
This is the Twilight Zone of the EDL.
What you like.
What are we like? I don't know. It's just, you get an issue or a topic that's thrown up there, and we do like to run with it a little bit, don't we, Tim? And we like to expand on things.
It's interesting.
Of course it is. It certainly
is.
And who's to say that this the Bigfoot isn't... sort of a long-lost relative of one of these Muslim tribes or something like that. Who can say?
No, don't say that. We love
Bigfoot. Well, you don't know, Kel. Now, the Muslims would have you believe that, though.
Bite your tongue. No, Bigfoot is
would
on our side. Bigfoot is an infidel like us.
Yes, I have to say, I think I'd have to agree with Kel on this. You just can't imagine a Muslim Bigfoot. You know, I mean, you imagine it. You know, the feet would just get in the way every time you sort of bend down to pray five times a day. You'd be tripping over your feet. You just couldn't do it. So I reckon he's an infidel like the rest of us.
I've got Bigfoot.
Oh yeah, the Sasquatch is on our side. I mean, these are the friendly folk that rescue little children lost in the forest and return them to their base camp. So I can't see any Muslim tribe doing that. Absolutely.
No, and I've got a comment, and I don't think our Bigfoot, who's sitting in the chat room, is too happy. He said, "No, I'm not related to any Muslim tribes."
Not our
Bigfoot.
No,
we wouldn't mean in you, Bigfoot brother. We know you're not. but anyway, my goodness me, reaching that Bigfoot could be sort of one of the long-lost Muslim tribes. Now, that's put the hornets amongst the nest, isn't it, guys? Oh, dear. dear.
I think you'll find the usual phrase is cat amongst the pigeons, Geoffrey.
Geoffrey. Now, my mother always used to call me Geoffrey when I said something wrong. I was telling that to Kel, wasn't I, Kel? My mother always used to say, Geoffrey, get here. I was going to say, now, I know we've been having a bit of fun and joviality. Well, it is Friday evening, for goodness sake.
Absolutely.
But, Kel, I'm sure you've got a topic about Canada, something to do with Canada. So I was wondering, would you like to expand on that that we want to discuss about Canada? Something that's been going on in Canada there? Canadian
perspective. Yeah. I briefly brought this up with Mike Holt on his program on Wednesday. And this involves, and ladies and gentlemen, this is news from Canada. We like to hear news globally, but my little contribution today is news from Canada. And the Muslims were told no. Finally. This is from, I put the link in the chat room, gentlemen. But this is from Canada. Airport turns down Muslim cabbies' demands for a prayer room. Now, there were two Muslims, Mohammed Ashraf and Mahmoud Shakik. They wanted a prayer room in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, and that's an international airport. And the CEO of the Saskatoon Airport Authority, he said no. His name is Stephen Mayberry, and so we want to give Stephen Mayberry a round of applause for that. What was going on is that Mahmoud they're both cab drivers is what they are, and they were saying that every other airport has a ecumenical prayer room or a non-denominational prayer room, so why can we not have a prayer room at the John G. Diefenbaker International Airport in Saskatoon? Why is there not a multi-faith room there? Every international airport has a multi-faith room or multi-religion. It's one place, Chef Keith said. You are a Christian, you can go there. Someone is Hindu, he can pray. Someone who is a Muslim, he can pray there. Now, like I say, these are cab drivers. He says that he, Shakit in particular, he makes countless trips to the airport every day. Sometimes security guards open a room for him to pray, but he says airport officials should set up a small room that would accommodate travelers and employees alike. Now, these rooms are rather ubiquitous. They're everywhere. You can see them at major international airports, and most often they are non-denominational. They're multi-faith rooms that are open to every kind of religious worship. However, Stephen Mayberry, president and CEO of the Saskatoon Airport Authority, said despite a recent string of renovations at that particular airport, there is simply no room for a multi-faith space. Mr. Mayberry said, in terms of our facilities, we have not considered that and not designated any space. We are trying to optimize space here because he is aware that the bigger airports do provide a space for people to worship. He says Saskatoon's airport is not the same kind of airport. There are very few lengthy layovers in Saskatoon, and unlike other airports, the facility is not a place where international travelers spend a lot of time. He goes on to say, when you get to the larger airports, they changed their model, so it's a hub. People are spending the night. We are not a connection hub for international flights. And so he said no. He went to these, he turned to these Muslims, and he said, no, you're not getting a prayer room. And I'm going to go on sidebar here, gentlemen, because I want to explain to you exactly what happens when we establish, quote, unquote, multi-faith prayer rooms, is that the, in particular in Toronto at the Pearson International Airport in Toronto, they're experiencing all sorts of problems with these ecumenical prayer rooms because what the Muslims are doing, the cab drivers, what they're doing is that they pull up and they go in, they pray, okay, you know, all good, all groovy. If you want to worship a moon god, you know, have at her.
Yep,
but what they're doing is that they're leaving their prayer mats behind and they're leaving their Korans behind. They're strewn about that room. So people of other faiths, if they are wanting to pray before they board their flight, it's intimidation. They're marking their territory like dogs.
Yeah. Yeah, like dogs. That sums it up, like rabid dogs. I agree, Kel. And I salute the gentleman with the foresight of not allowing the prayer rooms to be a part of the establishment at the airport there. As he said, and he made quite a lengthy statement, the reason for not having it. And well done to him. And he know, I mean, it's quite obvious he's going to take a lot of flack from you'll have care and people like that making complaints, and probably you find out a Human Rights Commission has been, sent to check this out. And you can imagine it. You know what care's like, Kel, they're all over anything like that. The OIC and everybody gets involved when you say no to the Muslims. So I've got to appreciate the gentleman for making a firm stand there. And that's what it needs. It needs people to stand up, even though, you can get repercussions. Ladies and gentlemen, we are discussing Islam. We are discussing the fear, the intimidation of the way that they try to rule people's lives or try to prevent people from thinking anything opposite to what Islam does. Good luck to him, Kel. It's really good that this gentleman, I salute him, well done. And that's what we need, more people like that gentleman. There were quite a few people that makes a firm stand, but as you know, there's always the implications, especially when it involves this cult called Islam, isn't it, guys? I think you would agree with that, wouldn't you, Kel and Tim?
Oh, yeah, Tim. Like, Tim,
mm-hmm.
Tim has a lot to say about this.
I do. I mean, I don't know how much I can add to that particular story, but it all falls into the pattern of Muslims making unreasonable demands from everybody else and then throwing a hissy fit whenever they are knocked back or somebody says no to them. But we have to say no to them at every conceivable opportunity, because if we don't, it's just like the analogy of the two-year-old that's throwing the tantrum. When you've got a two-year-old that's throwing a tantrum, you do not give in to them. You put them in a corner and you say, you stay there until you learn to behave in a civilized manner. And eventually they get the message. But if you give in to them, then they stay as tantrum-throwing two-year-olds for the rest of their life. And that is not mm-hmm. doing them any good. Quite apart from giving us all a huge pain in the neck, it's not actually doing them any good, allowing them to stay in a state of arrested development for the rest of their lives. But that's what Muslims are, ladies and gentlemen. They're in a state of arrested development because nobody has stood up to them and said that their behavior is not acceptable.
A little bit of a silence there, wasn't there, Tim?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Sorry about that. Gentlemen, I'm disappearing into the green room for a moment, so carry on.
Okay.
I like sometimes when you've made a statement, Tim, sometimes you might think, Jeff, come back.
Sometimes I like
to digest something that you've said because it's so interesting.
Yeah, that's absolutely fine, Jeff. I do understand. It's just sometimes I think, where's everybody gone? Well, I've been talking.
It's not meant to be like that.
I'm speaking to an empty room. But I'm sure it isn't like that. So, yeah, I quite understand.
No. I like to digest. When you say something, Tim, I like to sort of let it run through my mind before I sort of comment. I think it's only fair. And a nice little pause there, sometimes it does help people to reflect a little bit on what you said.
Yeah.
So there you go. So it complements what you just said, Tim.
It's one thing about sort of throwing these concepts in on the radio show, but it's quite another to sort of throw a concept out and then come to a dead halt and expect somebody
I know what you're saying, Tim.
And then, you know, oh, back in a minute, Tim. We're just down the pub having a couple of lagers.
Tim, you hold the fort so well, son.
Yeah,
you hold the fort so well. But I'll tell you something. I've got to agree with everything you said anyway, and I normally do. I was going to say, just before we moved on, I've got Dodgy Dave, who said, has anyone else noticed the charge of racially aggravated harassment has now become religiously aggravated harassment when Muslims are the victims? He makes a good point there, and it's something that reflects on yourself, Tim, you know, with your situation, that this is exactly why I mentioned it, because Dodgy Dave, thank you very much for that comment there, mate.
Racially aggravated harassment, eh? Now, there's a phrase I haven't heard in quite a while. But Dave's absolutely right. And in fact, when it was first put to me that I was going to be charged with this, the first thing that came to my mind was that obviously Islam is not a race. I mean, it doesn't need a rocket scientist to point that out. But in fact, in law, the concept of racially aggravated harassment actually encompasses religiously aggravated harassment. So you might think, well, it's obviously a false charge, but the way the law is currently worded, it does cover religiously aggravated. But nevertheless, with that in mind, I have noticed that when Muslims are the victims, that people seem to pull out all the stops to make sure that they get whatever they demand. And of course, we have to stop that. One of the things we discussed on a recent show when we had Dr. Bill Warner was the concept of necessity trumping obligation. And by that, I mean that a Muslim might well say that he's obligated to behave in a certain way due to his religious requirements. However, if we stand up to them and say, we want things done this way, despite your so-called religious obligations, what should happen is that the Muslim will say, well, very well, Kufar, have it your way. Your necessity trumps my obligation, and Allah will therefore free me from any pain of hellfire in the hereafter. And it'll all be on your head, Kufar. You just remember that. It'll all be on your head. And if we stood up to them and said that every time, they would eventually get the message. Of course, the trouble is that most people don't stand up to them and say that. They back down and they give them what they want. And really, we have to stop that.
Yeah. The dimitude must stop. Correct, Tim. The dimitude must stop because we need to put a foot down with a firm hand.
Absolutely we do. And hey, you know what, we have a caller on the line right now, and Jeff, do you want me to bring him in?
Yes, please. I wonder if it's the gentleman thinking it could be.
Let us see.
Oh, where'd he go? Oh, he's here. Yaggity-yak, yaggity-yak.
Well, there you go. I thought it was our dear Mr. Wahibi from Spongistan. Thank you, Kel. I hope you liked the intro to you coming onto the show, Mr. Wahibi. And I hope you're doing well in Spongistan this evening.
Oh, hello. This is Wahabi here from the Spongistan. Hello, EDL Friday, ha ha hee hee shaw.
Hello, hello, Harvey.
Hey, Wahadi, how you doing?
Yes, yes. So you sit back, you drink, your Johnny is walking liquor, and you have good time laughing, making fun of Wahabi. That's okay. Maybe one day you'll see what phobia, you talk about phobia tonight on your laughing show. I think... big problem you did not discuss is yakophobia.
Ah, very true.
Yes.
Very true. Yes.
Yes.
Yes,
so
a big problem,
I talked to you about
it?
Yakophobia. Yak meat is best meat in to eat. Best to raise, best to eat. You look it up. It's all true. You look it up. And it is good for you. So no more laughing about yakophobia.
Is that do we look it up in the Yak Google?
Yes, you take the Google, you look at the Yak, it gives you a medical cholesterol count or how much feed hay to the Yak. Everything is better in the statistic about Yak. So, you know, you must understand big science about the Yak.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, and you say there's a yaknophobia that's come out from the yaks of your country. Is that correct, Wahibi? Is that correct?
No, it is. Infidels have the yakophobia. They don't eat yak meat. Some don't like yak cheese. You know, they make ha ha hee hee fun on Friday about the yak, but it's very serious topic for Spongistan. As you
well,
know, sport
well,
and
we don't mean
any
harm, you know, Wahibi. We think very highly. Some of our members have even, they're trying to get their own yaks and train their own yaks for future sledge racing. So, no, I would think that we're pretty fair to the yaks. Would you not say, Tim and Kilda? I don't think we say anything to offend the yaks.
I mean, you know, we wouldn't want any suggestion of yakophobia to be attached to this show, but I do have one question, the question I have, Wahabi, is there any truth in the rumour that yak urine is good for a whole host of medicinal purposes? Now, we have heard similar rumours like this in the past, and it seems to me you're best placed to answer that.
Oh, that question is maybe difficult, but in Spongistan, the only thing we use yak urine for is to throw at a neighbor we don't like next door. We throw it at them.
Oh, right. Oh, I thought...
That's all.
I thought
that's all we use it
okay.
for, yes.
So
you don't like next door neighbor,
the
you throw the urine on his yurt.
Yeah,
that's what we do.
Oh, okay.
I suppose otherwise you'd have said we was taking the piss, wouldn't you, Ivy?
That's good for you, Jeff.
Oh, Jeff,
I do apologise, Ivy. It's always an honour to have you on the show on Friday evening, our ha-ha-hee-hee Comedy Central EDL radio show. And this week, Wahibi, have you got anything that you want to discuss of what's been going on in Spongistan? What's the slogan again? Wahibi, what's the slogan that you normally say?
Well, of course, if you forget once again, Jeff, because you're not very bright, we, a sponge from you, and you stand for it, and we love you. So I'll continue. No announcements tonight from Spongistan due to security blackout. I think you call it blackout.
Oh,
I have no announcements.
Wahabi,
I
have a question. I understand that Barack Hussein Obama might be visiting Spongistan. How do you feel about that?
He will not be coming to the Spongistan because... on his last visit, he used a credit card and did not pay bill. So he is not allowed back to Spongistan.
Well,
so he owes you money.
Called IOU thing.
He left an IOU. Isn't that just like Obama to do something like that?
Yes, he is first the infidel to sponge from a sponge stem.
Well, what can we say about that? There you go, ladies and gentlemen. It's what Ivy said, that Obama, you know, he sponged off the sponges on people, and he still owes them, doesn't he? What you got, an IOU from him then, Mr. Ivy?
Yes. He tried to use a credit card, but did not work. He gave us paper, something, and, you know, very bad. So he may not come back to Spongestan until he pays bill.
You have to remember with an iPad or something like that, you know, one of my phones.
Yeah, but Wahhabi has to remember that Barack Hussein Obama goes under many pseudonyms, and Vito Esposito in the chat room wants to know, Wahhabi, was that credit card registered to Barry Satoru or Barack Hussein Obama?
I do not know that detail. I am just a press secretary ambassador to Spongeston.
I have another question for you, Wahhabi. I mean, obviously, since you've been on the show, the popularity of Spongistan has gone absolutely through the roof. You've only got to Google Spongistan, and you can see that there's been like a thousandfold increase in inquiries for people wanting to go there for their holidays. So given that we've only got the one barge at the moment leaving at 12 o'clock on a Monday, are there any plans to increase the network of barges to get tourists over to Spongistan to meet the high demand that you're bound to experience?
Oh, yes. There's better way. You take land route. Land route, yes. You go by land. You take the yak caravan over the mountain.
The yak
over,
caravan.
Your old mountains, you take, then you get to Silk Road. Right turn in Hoboken.
Oh, excellent. Okay, I'm
making
notes.
It sounds a bit of a trek there, Mr. Wybie. It sounds a bit of a trek across the mountains and all that on a yak, the yak caravans.
But be careful, there are many
well,
tolls on that land route. Many tolls. Many.
Many?
Yeah.
Many what, sorry, was that, Mahabi?
A toll... Tolls.
Tolls. Well, I imagine there would be. But, I mean, what about, you know, is it a safe route? You know, I imagine you get a few bandits on the old Silk Road, and do you have to have any special protection from yak highwaymen or anything like that?
Well, Tim, you take road, and you go to Spongistan and do a review and tell EDL the result. And there will be no bias. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent idea, and I'll make a point of doing that in between now and next week. And next week, when you come back on the show, hopefully if I haven't been taken hostage by yak highwaymen on the Silk Road, I'll be able to come back and give you all a review of the trip to Spongistan. So
you go. Wahhabi, will you meet our Tim? Will you meet him, our cat strangler, when he arrives?
I am very busy man, but maybe I will send envoy. Yes.
Oh,
we
anyway.
Appreciate how busy you are, and that you are your time is valued, and we so very much appreciate what you do and how you take the time to spend with us. But on your downtime, Vito Esposito in the chat room, he wants to know, what do you do on your downtime? Do you sit around, do you read a book, and do you drink cognac?
We may not drink the strong liquor like Johnny is Walking liquor or Jim is Beaming liquor, all those things, but we can have yak milk fermented with honey is okay to drink.
Oh.
So that's
what
that is beverage in Spongistan.
Can you get become intoxicated on that that drink? Would you say?
It is not fruit. It is not the wheat or the rice. It is honey and yak milk, and it is okay.
Whoa. Well, there you go. That's what I like about having Wahibi, because it's very informative. Now, we wouldn't have known that in Spongistan the popular drink is a yak milk mixed with an essence of honey. There you go.
Yes, fermented.
Yeah,
yes.
They do say travel broadens the mind, don't they, Jeff? And certainly I can see that's going to be the case. And I'm really looking forward to my trip next week. And I hope I'll have the review all ready for you for next Friday night.
Yes, I must go soon unless the Red Wolf Lady has something.
Red Wolf Lady. Come on, Red Wolf Lady.
Well, you know what, Wahibi? I actually do have a final question for you, and that is when I go to Spongistan, I book my flights via Virgin 72 Airlines, as we know. But when I arrive at the Cave O'Rama, the towels are not fresh. I'm getting a little perplexed by that, Wahibi.
Oh, I don't know what to say. I will, talk to travel people. I will say something, check for you. But also, before I go, tonight on your laughing show, you are all tent. They're all tent people. So, yes, you're all tent. So maybe you should get second wife. And maybe you'll do, get second wife.
You'll
feel better. So.
Very wise words there, Wahibi.
Yes.
I've got just one more question, just before you go. I do know you're very busy, gentlemen, and thank you for giving up so much time to come onto the Ha Ha Hee Hee EDL Radio Comedy Central on a Friday. It's really, really appreciated your time.
Yes, Jeff, and your English is better this week too, so good for you.
Well, thank you so much, Wahibi. It's really nice to know that.
He speaks it almost like a native, doesn't he? He speaks it almost like a native, Jeff.
Yes, almost, yes.
Almost.
I was going to say... Just one more question, and that's this is from Vito Esposito, and he's asking, who milks the yak? Who milks the yak, Wahibi? just a question we got from the chat room.
In Spongistan, we have occupation for milking the yak, and it could be a woman, it could be man, but, they are special people that are given privilege to make the yak milk. And just like infidel Western place, we have the yak pump. The yak pump you put on the yak. So we use technology, and many people operate the yak pump. The yak walks onto the platform, and they use the pump.
Well, I think that's answered Vito's question there. So I think most of us wasn't too sure about that. So once again, I'd like to thank you for calling in on the show this evening, and we do appreciate it, because as you say, people like yourself who call into the show, it broadens everybody's perspective of especially Spongistan. As you say, it's taken off in a big way. And you've probably seen the tourists coming across on the barges. But as Tim said, I think you need to maybe expand a little bit on them barges, because we don't want any accidents where the barges sink because there's so many people trying to come over to Spongistan. So maybe that's something
to
think about.
Yes, so I must go.
Obama's limousine will not sink the barge.
Yes, I must go because... many things here pressing Spongistan. We have, yak troops in Crimea. I should not say anything. Remember, Spongistan, we sponge from you, and you stand for it. And we love you, EDL. Yes. Good night.
Hey.
Good night,
good night,
Mr. Wahibi.
See you soon.
God bless you. Yaggity yak, yaggity yak. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's always a great honour and privilege to have Wahibi from Spongistan calling on the show on a Friday, our Comedy Central show. And I hope you're enjoying the show this evening, ladies and gentlemen, because we, you know, I was talking to Kel earlier. We always look forward to the Friday shows, don't we, Kel and Tim? It's just something that we look so forward to doing these shows, especially when we have Wahibi calling. And there's a lot of things there that give a lot of food for thought there. Would you not say there, Kel?
I'm waiting for next week when he talks about Crimea. That should be rather interesting. But every time Wahibi comes on, I have 14 million questions running through my head. And yak, yak, yak. How about that? It's fantastic. It's fantastic that Wahibi is able to call in from wherever he is. I know that Spongistan, they have quite a few issues with getting on the airwaves because of all the caves that they bounce back and forth, and it's hard to get a cell signal. So for Wahibi to be able to call in from the deep recesses of Spongistan is absolutely amazing to me, Jeff and Tim.
This is it. I mean, what he did mention, that there's a yacnophobic going on. I can't believe that the people will become yacnophobes. You know what I mean, Kel? It's a lovely
not yacnophobe if they really want to kill you.
I'll tell you what, Kel, what I've just noticed what Eric was saying in the chat room. He said, I don't know why, but that song almost reminds me of Benny Hill, you know, that. But that's a good point, because it does, it's got a similar sort of a theme to it, hasn't it? Would you not say, Tim, Kel?
Yeah, it's the saxophone, that's why, because there's a saxophone theme running all the way through it. But it is, Eric's absolutely right, it's very reminiscent of the Benny Hill theme tune. For those of our listeners who don't know the Benny Hill theme tune, we'll have to see if we can dig it out and maybe play them a clip, if not later on this week, then maybe next week. But there's a definite similarity.
Yeah, a Bigfoot saying, yakety sax.
There you go. Sacks. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
I love all the little comments that we get in the chat room. But yeah, that was a really interesting call. As I say, I think we all look forward for the Friday now with, as I say, I think it's really put Spongistan on the map, hasn't it, Tim, as you
well,
say?
Well, it has. People... I mean, that just reminded me. I mean, one obvious question that sort of springs from this, we'll have to ask Wahibi when we next speak to him, if it's true that they still practice sax slavery over in Spongistan, which would account for the theme tune. But there we go. Just
that
my little joke.
Tim, what are you
just,
like, mate?
What am I like, eh? What am I like?
I just noticed another great person has kept stepped into the room this evening. Of course, that's our very own Mr. Holger, Holger Awakened.
Yeah.
So, good to see you, Holger. I was just saying hi, and I'm giving you a wave there, brother. So it's also a pleasure to see you in the chat room. And I hope you managed to catch our very own Mr. Wahibi, all the way from Spongistan. It's something we enjoy this segment of the show, don't we, guys, so much. So we also look forward to what next week will bring us, the next segment of the Spongistan theme.
I'm just wondering, when Eric said, I don't know why, but this song always reminds me of Benny Hill, and Tim brought it up, and is this what everybody's thinking about?
Yeah. That's it.
Ha ha ha! Okay, I think everybody
that's
got
it,
the idea.
Well,
that's really well done, Kel. I'm so impressed with that. It was only what must have been about all of 30 seconds between us talking. Benny Hill and you digging out the theme tune and playing it on the radio. Now that, ladies
and gentlemen,
that's true professionalism, ladies and gentlemen. True professionalism.
It certainly is. She's not called the Queen of the Google for nothing else, though, are you?
Yeah.
Am I right? That
yeah,
is it.
Absolutely.
And Tim, you're pretty quick on the old Google yourself, there, buddy, as well. So.
Yeah, not as good as Kel.
She's quick as lightning. She's grease lightning, eh, Kel, wouldn't you, Kel?
Grease lightning.
I take the battle.
And there's another tune we'd like you to go and get for us when you have 5 seconds.
No, gentlemen, what I don't want to do is I don't want to trip up the stairs in my ball gown with my gloves up to my shoulders accepting my reward.
Oh, well, okay.
Well, and as I say, ladies and gentlemen, we brushed upon it briefly earlier on, but today's a very special day for Kel. It's just not the Friday show and, you know, the Comedy Central, but it's a very special day for Kel. 25 years she's been married, and her and hubby are going to be celebrating a little bit later on, and then tomorrow... Kel, you're going out. You're going out for a meal, aren't you? So I am going to
my absolute most favorite steakhouse, and that is the Keg.
Woo-hoo.
And I am going to chow down on a big, huge old steak and have a baked potato with sour cream and onions, and I am just going to have a wonderful evening with my husband.
Well done, Kel. Well done. It's sounds like you're going to have a wonderful time. So I think all of us send our love to you and your hubby, and you have a great, great night out tomorrow. And I know you're going to have a Chinese tonight, so I know you're looking forward to that as well. So.
Oh yeah, we're turning this into a 3-day celebration. We're doing a Chinese tonight, and then we're doing the cake tomorrow night, and then on Sunday we're doing one of my absolute favorites, and that is pulled pork in the slow cooker on Sunday. So yeah, it's
Woo-hoo!
Going to be a 3-day event around here.
Absolutely. Oh, Kel, I've got Eric Kyle saying, well done, Kel, 25 years without killing your bloke. it's funny. You think, oh, excuse me. He did mean it in a jovial way, Kel.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. That's okay. I really don't mind the attention because when you've been married to somebody for 25 years, that's a silver anniversary. That is a milestone in your life, and so I don't mind the attention at all because I'm very, very proud that I met a man a number of years ago, and he asked me to be his wife. And I'm very proud that we have such a great partnership and that we make it work. And the thing is, though, you do turn into old Marys. And that Mike will say, what are you doing tonight? Oh, I have a show. Oh, okay. I'll put supper in the oven.
There you go, Kel.
It's great. I want to thank you. Jeff, thank you for that. That's very, very kind.
No, it's just nice. It's as I say, it's quite an epic time. 25 years of a marriage, and you should celebrate it. It's you've seen, you know, when you started off in life and what you've achieved together, every step of the way you do it together, and it's just a great time. And you know, like as I told you earlier on today, Kel, my sister, she's got a. Was it a ruby anniversary? 40 years. 40 years. I remember back then when my mum and my people used to say, my sister and my brother, it won't last longer than 6 months. 40 years. 40 years they've been together. It's just unbelievable, you know. And some of yourself, Kel, it's just fantastic. I'm so pleased. But anyway, oh, my goodness me. Do you know what, Kel? I've gone right over my...
you know, my time.
No, you're due for a break so that you can call back into the program.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I've just run over my normal, because you get involved with different things that's going on. So I was wondering, Kel, is there something, a little segment that maybe we can go to and take a quick
I have break and... a very nice song, and this is for everybody that is celebrating, whether it be an anniversary or a birthday or the birth of a grandchild, in which my friend acknowledged today. His grandson came into the world safe and sound today.
Oh, lovely.
And so I think that this song would be perfect for all of us, Jeff, and I'll play that right now and give you a chance to call back in.
Thank you, Kel. And so I'll pass it over to you. So thanks once again. Thank you, Kel.
You bet. We'll see everybody back here in 3 minutes.
You must remember this. A kiss is still a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by. And when two lovers woo, they still say, I love you. On that you can rely. No matter what the future brings, as time goes by. Moonlight and love songs, never out of date. Hearts full of passion, jealousy and hate. Woman needs man, and man must have his mate. That no one can deny. It's still the same old story, a fight for love and glory. A case of do or die. The world will always welcome lovers as time goes by. Moonlight and love songs, never out of date. Hearts full of passion, jealousy and hate. Woman needs man, and man must have his mate. That no one can deny. Still the same old story, a fight for love and glory. A case of do or die. The world will always welcome lovers as time goes by.
Absolutely wonderful. To everybody that's maybe celebrating a birthday, anniversary, that went out to all you, and especially people who just had a baby, which Kel just said. So, and so all our messages go out to everybody. So, a bit special today. But anyway, what I want to do before we move on is I haven't played this for a little while, but we must never forget that we're part of the English Defence League Radio show, and also the organisation. So I'm going to play our dear friend Martin Hives' EDL radio commercial, guys, and then we'll move on with some of the other issues that we want to be discussing this evening. And I can't remember what they are, but I'm sure we got quite a few, haven't we, Kelsey?
Oh, we got tons.
So would that be okay? What do you reckon? Should we play the EDL radio commercial with our dear friend Martin Hive, yeah?
Oh, that's a brilliant idea.
That is brilliant. So we'll do that, guys, and then we'll come back and we'll continue with some of the topics that we wanted to be discussing this evening. So with that, here we go.
If you are sick and tired of listening to the lies you hear from politicians and the mainstream media about Islam, and you want to hear the truth about the crimes that are committed in its name in your country and all around the world, then please tune in to the East Anglian EDL radio show on blogtalkradio.com on Thursdays, Fridays and Sundays at 8:30 GMT and 3:30 EDT. For analysis, updates and news about Islam without any of the lies and political correctness that you hear in the mainstream media, and for updates, news and information about the English Defence League, then come and join us on Blog Talk Radio. You can also listen to all our previous broadcasts at any time by visiting the East Anglian EDL Radio Show archive. The East Anglian EDL Radio Show, the official radio show of the English Defence League.
We haven't played that for a little while, but as you, a lot of people will think, well, mm-hmm. It's not the East Anglia. We're more inclusive now. We are the English Defence League radio show now. So it's more inclusive to people around and up and down the country that thought maybe at the time that the East Anglia's EDL radio show was more of a regional radio station. And that's the point that we... That's the reason why we changed it, wasn't it, Kel? That's the reason why...
That's right, Jeff. That's right. And, you know, my apologies to you, Jeff, because sometimes I'm still stuck on and at the East England. But, no, it's not regional any longer. It is national. And as a matter of fact, Jeff, I would go even further and say it's international, because EDL Radio is reaching out globally to everybody out there, whether you have a chapter in Australia, the United States, Canada, New Zealand, China, everywhere. We are here. We are international, and we are reaching out to you. And we always invite everybody to join us and have their say on the EDL radio show. Right, Jeff?
That is right, Kel. That is exactly the case. And and hopefully in the future, we have got our very own Naomi coming on this Sunday. And I don't know about you, Kel, but I'm really looking forward to having Naomi part show. She just done a little bit last week, and she just talked to her just a little bit, and so just give a little bit of flavour. But she's such a great lady in her own rights, isn't she, Kel? So we're really looking forward to Sunday's show.
I am so looking forward to that. That is going to be a banner show. Oh, please, people. Join us. Oh, and Jeff, before we forget, just to remind our North American listeners, as of Sunday, EDL radio will be heard an hour ahead in your North American time zones, and that is because the clocks go forward. And the UK will catch up on March 30th, in which everything will be back to order, and we will resume the regular programming. But for the next 3 weeks or so, next 3 weeks proper, actually, the English Defense League radio program will be heard. For example, in my time zone, Eastern Standard Time, which will be Eastern Daylight Time by then, you will hear it at 4:30 p.m. in my time zone. And so carry forth with your time zones. Just be apprised that EDL will be an hour later, but that is only for 3 weeks. There you go.
Yeah. So, thank you, Carol. And I'm glad that you mentioned that, because there's a lot of people. All of a sudden, they find it's funny. Where's the English Defence League radio station? But so it's good that we give everybody, a bit of heads up on the situation for the next 3 weeks. So there you go, guys. You make a note in your diary, whatever, that from this Sunday, the times they move forward, don't they, Carol? It's an hour later.
Mm-hmm.
That you'll be listening to the show. So, but as I say, it's just a little bit of inconvenience for a few weeks till we catch up, and then everything will be back to normal procedures. We've got because the Worcester demonstration that was cancelled, we have got. A demonstration, which I think is on. Carol, we have got the date there, and I haven't got my book in front of me.
Yeah, it's in Peterborough on March 29th.
It's the 29th. I wasn't too sure, 28th or 29th. This is we'll be going back to Peterborough. The last time we went to Peterborough, it was a total success, and I'm sure the same thing will be there. So we are gathering the troops, our foot soldiers, everywhere, wherever you might be, guys. Put this in your diary. You'll have a great time. This is going to be a great demonstration. So please be there. And I think it's going to be one of those ones that there'll be a lot of videos. There'll be a lot of video feeds. I hope. Hopefully. We can get something sorted out. We get a live leak feed or something like that, Carol. Hopefully we can see if
absolutely.
We can look at this.
Absolutely.
It's so
and Jeff,
do this.
What I love is that people can go to the English Defense League official website, and the link is right there in Jeff's show notes. So if you go up there and you click on that, you will get all the details there.
There you go, guys. Thanks, Kel. That's great. So yes, we'll be building up for the next demonstration, which is, as I say, being Peterborough. It was very successful the last time. I think it was about 2 years ago, Kel. Was it like 2 years?
Yeah, it was about two years ago.
So time we revisited. There's certain things that's been going on there. There's been a couple of cases of grooming gangs. And it's only right that where we get these, I'm using the word grooming loosely, and that is annoying thing that they've brought upon everybody, the grooming. It's nothing to do with grooming. This is Islamic slavery to the young kids. That's what it is.
Sure is.
It's just I slip into, because it's you hear it so much, Kel, and I get annoyed at myself when I use the term of grooming, because it's just too sanitized. It's not. It's evil. What these bastards do to these kids is evil, and it's what the Islamic ideology, the mindset of these people. They think when they're arrested, we can do this sort of thing when we're at home. No, you're not at bloody home. You live in the United Kingdom. We don't like having our kids abducted and subjected to sexual pleasures, you perverted bastards. Oh, sorry, Kel, I'm running on one here.
Go, Jeff. Keep going. Go.
God. Well, that's the way I feel about it. They make me bloody sick. And the trouble is, and it's too many of these do-gooders. You know, there was these idiots, the UAF, when we had this grooming gang. You remember this, Tim, the grooming gang at Liverpool. And these, there's these Muppets, these UAF Muppets with placards to go up against the English Defence League and all the people that was there up in arms about these little scumbags who was on trial. And you had the UAF supporting these cretins. It was in the courts. The people of Liverpool actually showed them the door. They said, you're not welcome here. Piss off. And basically broke their placards off and chucked them in a dustbin. So that's the way that these people, the people that David Cameron supports, and 300 other politicians support this UA. And that's the sort of people, and that just winds me up, girl. It really does. And my apologies. I had an outburst.
Well, you know what? I don't blame you at all. I don't blame you at all because I was just having a chat with Tim. And you know what? This is what I'm doing. The truncheon's out. It's out. We're not putting up with it anymore. We're not. We're not putting up with this. Enough is enough.
It seems a shame that we have to keep going to these places because it keeps happening. We keep hearing the cases of other trials, other of these gangs have been attacking young kids, and it's been going on for a while. And then all of a sudden, Tommy Robinson said a while ago, it's just the tip of the iceberg. Do you remember when he said that? Just a tip. And what have we been seeing? The floodgates have opened up to these cases. And it's because of people like ourselves who go there and highlight these very serious problems in the societies of Peterborough and places like that. We will not accept these people going about their business, doing things like that, and think that they can just say, "Oh, in my country, it's not a big deal." Well, it is a bloody big deal here. Should all study the laws of the country. That you people find that totally disgusting, perverted, and everything you can think about. It's just it just makes me so angry.
Oh, and they get free passes because they don't understand the culture. Like, give me a break.
I know. God. All these bloody excuses for them. And they're just evil. This cult of Islam is pure and utter evil. And they try to portray their so-called prophet, don't they? This is what it is, Kel. They want to be like their prophet. Do you know what? I've put Muslims on the spot before, Kel. I said, you know, now you're a Muslim. Yes, I'm a Muslim. So you sort of believe everything what your prophet says. I said, yes, I do. And you believe in living your life on a daily basis like your prophet lived? Yes, I said. So, you know, you're into paedophilia. You don't mind sleeping with dead people. And, oh, no. Once you put them on the spot, there's no going back. You know, that they want to emulate their prophet, everything he used to do. As we know, if he was alive today, he'd probably be in one of these prisons and underneath the prison, you know, in a high security thing because of the crimes that he's done to young kids, animals, dead people. I mean, those things. And they want to emulate him. So it just proves you how evil and sick this cult really is that people worship. That person.
Absolutely. And I know that Tim is rather staid in his approach to things because Tim is a very calming effect. But I think, Tim, that you could experience outrage with this.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I was actually reading through this particular article yesterday. I mean, it was one of the things that got me so incensed, and I'm afraid I rather let it get through of me at that point last night when I was on the radio show, because it really is, ladies and gentlemen, this particular report that has been put into the chat room for bookmarking. It really is horrendous, and I recommend that everybody who's currently listening tonight bookmark that Law and Freedom Foundation report on Islam and child sex slavery and read it thoroughly all the way through, because if that doesn't get you angry, then I don't know what will. And I started reading it yesterday, and I was just so incensed at what I read. I mean, I won't go into it in too much detail, but basically the phenomenon that we know as Muslim, the Muslim grooming of our young girls has been going on for a long, long time, far beyond what, I mean, most people know that it's been going on for 5 or 10 years, but in fact it's been going on at least since 1988, and the authorities that should have done something about it, by which I mean local councils, the police and social services, they all knew about it, but they refused to do anything about it at all because they were afraid of being called racist or Islamophobic. And the left-wing organisations that were all on hand to make sure that everybody was towing the politically correct and multicultural line, I mean, they're just as much to blame as anybody else is. People like the UAF and other left-wing organisations, they are just as responsible. So, and we're talking about tens of thousands of young girls who were trafficked and effectively enslaved and had their lives ruined by these Muslim paedophiles, and it all could have been prevented, or at least it could have been highlighted and dealt with at a very much earlier stage.
And,
exactly.
They brushed it under the carpet, didn't they, Tim?
Yeah, they did.
As you say. And I think we can even go back to, say, 20 to 30 years. This wasn't just over 10 years. This was 20 to 30 years it's been going on. And that's what infuriates me. It's the people that, you know, while these kids were being treated like they was, that no one was taking any notice in case they were called racist. Well, it doesn't matter about being called a racist. There's children out there who's been abused by these little scumbags. And if it's a degradation of duty, I think that's the right, degradation of duty. If
dereliction,
you don't look after.
The word you're looking for, Jeff, is dereliction of duty.
Thank you,
and
Jim.
And yeah, you're absolutely right. The councils and the police and the social services, they are all guilty of dereliction of duty. And They ought really all to be held to account, and especially as Gavin Bovey said in his foreword in this report, he said especially when it came to Rotherham and Rochdale, the two councils that were first highlighted in this particular saga. The first thing that the heads of the councils said was, oh, we didn't know anything about it until the arrests took place in, when was it,
rubbish.
2011, when the first arrest... Well, of course it's rubbish. Of course they knew about it, and they all preferred to sweep it under the carpet, because that is what the politically correct and multicultural mindset does to people. It distorts their moral compass to the extent that they can no longer function as moral human beings, and that's why you should never ever trust anybody on the left of the political spectrum with any sort of power at all, because they just do not know how to use it in a sensible and moral and ethical manner.
What can I say? Well said, Tim. I've got some breaking news, and this is coming from Dodgy Dave, and this is fantastic news. As you know, we had the Grantham demonstration. Breaking news from Grantham, Lincolnshire. Our planning officers have rejected the Grantham Muslim Community Association plan for a place of worship in Mulwark Way, Grantham. A victory. There you go, guys. What can I say? Well done. That's what happens when you put the pressure on. This is what we can do. People power. So isn't that brilliant news, Tim and Kel? How about that, eh?
Yeah, very good.
Fantastic. job done. You know, that's what I'm saying. You know, with we go demonstrations, it just goes to show you can put pressure on. People listen and know that the people, the local people are outraged. So once again, to all the patriots that attended the Grantham demonstration, a big pat on the backs for you all, and a big salute, because job done. That's it. It's what you went to complain about and to demonstrate about. So well done to you all. God bless you guys, our foot soldiers. I'm very proud of every single person. Also, just to let you know, guys, we have got Tommy, as I know he's been a busy man, he's come straight into the studio, he's tripped over a couple of things, but he's here, and that's cool to have very own Mr. Tommy English. Welcome to the show, Tommy. Hope you're well this evening, brother.
Oh, it's
hi, Tommy.
To be home. Hello. So I understand I've left its mark.
It certainly has. I just read that out. Breaking news that they turned down the application for the community centre there, mate. So job done. Big salute to you, my old son, and to everybody else that was involved in the demonstration there. It just goes
to show
you. I've got
some good news myself, guys. I'm going to open this little form here. Okie dokie. Copy for employee. Name, Thomas English. I hate it when they put Thomas. It's not my name. It's Tommy. I keep telling them that. Campaign, talk, inbound. First day of holiday, 28th of March 2014 till the 30th of March 2014. Total days off work, 3. This request was accepted. So I'm going to Peterborough.
Hey, my son, well done. There you go. And I know he's an active, ladies and gentlemen, I know he's been buzzing about the Peterborough demonstration. And that now, coming to the studio and tell us that he's good to go. So there you go, buddy. Great news, Tom.
The good thing with Tom, who's my manager, he'll always say yes. He'll always quote, is this an EDL number, Tommy? I'll go, yeah, okay, you can have it.
There you go, man, after your own art there, eh, son?
Oh, it's so easy. Even when I book a weekend off, he'll say, is this an EDL number? I went, no, it's not the weekend off, you're not having it. He goes, so I say, why not? He goes, no, because if you use up all your holidays, you can't go on your demos, can you, silly boy?
But it's really, don't you think, Tim, how many times have we heard of people, you know, they can't talk to their boss or anything about what they do because these lefties are in their ear holes and a lot of people have lost their jobs. And we know it can be a career killer. But in direction of Tommy with his boss and basically, he's on the same page as Tommy. Isn't that refreshing to hear? Would you not say, Tim? Isn't that refreshing?
Oh, yeah, definitely, without a doubt. We need a bit more good news like that. A little bit of good news to report on a Friday night. He's never done anybody any harm.
Oh, yeah.
No,
it's breaking news. Muslims are now packing their bags and making their way for Dover. The war is over. One day you'll see that iconic photo from the end of the war when you see the American Marine kissing the young lady. I bet you'll see Jeff doing that on the day we win in Ipswich. You'll see one of them.
Well, there you go.
Victory in Europe, day number 2, eh?
Yeah, well, you know what? I reckon Jeff spends too much time kissing young ladies in Ipswich, you know. His case comes up next week.
Right, so we've got the Phantom Bacon Thrower of Old Town of Wigan. We've got the Phantom Kisser of Ipswich.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, Tommy. But you know what, boy? It's really good to have you on the show. So, Tommy, you've been on your own personal crusade, haven't you, son?
It's okay for me to publicise this. Andy in my division, guys, was taken to hospital on Monday night. Everything that went wrong with him went wrong with him. He basically suffered a minor heart attack on Monday, and on Tuesday his lungs collapsed. Now, I went over to go see him yesterday. He's in very high spirits. He's in a good mood. He's, you know, it doesn't affect me in no way. But basically, I was on phone to him as he came back, and he said, because they're draining his lungs out, now that seems to be going very well for him. So they give that another week, and if it's going to be clearing up, he'll be out a bit sooner. But if you have to take out his right lung, it could be down for another 6 months. But he said to me, it's all right, sorry, I'm only on the first floor, you know, I'll calm down the fire escape and I'll see you at Peterborough. I know you bloody work, mate. You'll stay there, I'll come and chain you down.
So he's in good spirits, Tommy. He's in good spirits.
I'll tell you, I went back last night, guys. I sat next to his bed and he goes, hey, Tommy, guess what? And I went, what? I've had him all debating about Islam today, mate. He says, that's all we need. EDL St. James Hospital Division.
I love you, Tommy.
I was talking to Kel, wasn't I, Kel? And I said, Tommy's mm-hmm. been—he's been doing his own personal crusade, and what can I say? Where was the hospital far from you, Tommy? Did you have to travel quite a way to?
Yeah, an hour away. I was on the bus for an hour, then I came back about, and that took me an hour as well. But he said to you when I got there yesterday, I said, oh, I didn't have to come over and see me. So I said, of course I am, mate. You mean mate? I first met Andy guys at Rochdale in 2012, and we've just been close mates ever since. Yeah, we're all very close, aren't we, Jeff?
Yeah. Yeah, I
that's why it's been
so
hard to pin you down for the last few days.
Yeah,
yeah, he's been a busy lad, and I don't know. Are you going to see Andy again before
I'm going over next week again when the rotor allows me to go over again. That's how I'll pop over.
Well, send him all our best and tell him to get well because we need him. He's a good lad. And we're all thinking of him to, you know, mm-hmm. get well soon, and that we're every one of us, part of the English Defence League team, we're all thinking of him and to get well and come home soon and, come back to your family. Tommy, what can I say? He's such a good lad, isn't he? His mates are poorly.
Are you kidding me? This is why Tommy is my EDL son. I adopted him.
Yeah, I've been adopted so many times in the past 4 years.
Tommy's only been my son for a number of years now. Tommy, you make me so proud, and that everything that you do, I am in awe of you. I am so impressed that a young lad such as yourself, in the way that you speak out, it's the way you speak out. Your passion is overwhelming to me. I literally tear up when I hear you speak. But when I hear that you are tending to an elder one, and this is what you're up to, it's Tommy. Please, can I clone you and have 5 EDL sons?
I think, yeah, if you just clone me, send a couple to the Middle East, you know.
But no, the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes you think, about the youth of the day, and with people like Tommy, it really... it does make me feel very proud. And people like Sonny as well. You know, Sonny's another one who's like Tommy. He's caring. He's one of those people who cares about his country, patriotic. The things that Tommy's called racist, fascist, because he speaks out. But at the same time, a very caring sort of person. And that's what we see with Sonny and Tommy. And you'd love to see 1,000 more. Same as Sonny and Tommy, and there are quite a few young people that's been coming through the ranks, and I do feel very, very proud. Tommy saying to me what he's been up to and what he's been doing, and it does. Tommy, you are very good PR for the English Defence League, especially like where the youth are concerned as well. You are a bit of a driving force, and
a nation of fighters, haven't we?
Well, that's right, son, and that's what I was leading to as well. That you've took the banner, and you took the flag, and you're the generation now that has taken up the fight and worked such a worthy cause as well. And well, put it this way, we're all very proud of what you're doing, and we just want to see more young people as well feel the same as yourself, Tom. And that's what we need. And that's right, my recruiting drive is what I'm doing right now. So, any of you, any young people out there that are thinking about joining with the English Defence League, if you can be anything like Tommy, Sonny, and many of other young people out there, make this nation proud of you. Join a great cause. It's a noble cause. No matter what they bloody say, this is a noble cause that we're on, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll never forget the first time I joined the EDL. Me and Wayne and Bennett having a big lightsaber duel on top of Tower Bridge, and he said, "You know that David Cameron was something happened to your father. Who told me you'd kill him? No, I am your father." But then I woke up. I'll tell you something, guys. Joining the EDL is not the biggest decision ever made, but it's something you'll never ever live to regret. I mean, I said it by going on the forum, set a little inbox. How do I join? Where are you? I'm in Hull. Oh yeah, go on to this page. That was it. Done in like literally an hour. There I am.
Yeah, exactly, Tommy.
4 years later. But I'll tell you something,
and,
guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tommy, we've got to relay this story. At one time, Tommy used to be staying back a little bit in the crowd, but one of our dear patriots pushed him up front. He said, "No, come on, Tommy, up the front you go." And that's where you've been ever since. Am I right, Tom?
Yeah, that was it. First time I joined the EDL was January 2010. But looking back on it now, it just feels like yesterday I first went there. I used to be right at the back or right in the middle, keep away, Tommy, keep your head down. He's saying, "What are you doing in the back, Tommy? Get up to the front." Now I said, no, I'm going to get arrested. Oh, stop that, mate, get going. And that was it. But now that Marty's, because Marty passed away 2 years ago, every time I like Marty.
Yeah, let's give a thought for Marty. He's the one, it was a bit of an inspiration to Tommy. And we often talk that we've lost a few of our patriots in time. And thinking of Martin when I was saying relaying that to you, Tommy used to sit back a bit, didn't you, Tom?
Yeah.
Until Martin said, "Come on, son, up the front you go. That's the place where you should be," and that's where you've been ever since. So there you go. But I'll tell you what, though, Tommy, it's great to have you back on the show this evening. As I say, you know, you to people. I say it. You was on your crusade, wasn't you, Tom? To check on Andy and that, and because we know it drives the Muslims mad, and it's probably driving them mad tonight because we had a success, a victory, ladies and gentlemen, victory at Grantham. They turned their planning permission down for that Tom?
An Islamic fortress.
Community centre. The community centre, as we know, e.g. mosque, was turned down. There you go. So victory tonight, guys.
Oh,
and,
it's going to be a night of burning cars and Allahu Akbars in Grantham, isn't it? This all seems to be their natural reaction. I call it the hedgehog effect. Whenever you're offended, that's when you get your spikes out.
But what I was going to say, Tommy, we've got we used to do this a while ago. Do you remember, Tom? Myself and Kel, we used to have a Dimmy Clip of the week, the Dimmy Clip of the week, and I think our Kel has got one of the Dimmy Clips from one of the biggest Dimmies going at this moment in time. So, with that, I'd like to pass it over to you, Kel, for our great listeners out there to hear the Dimmy King of the Dimmies once again saying his thing. So with that, Kel, over to you.
You bet.
Everybody knows that it makes no sense that you send a kid to the emergency room for a treatable illness like asthma. They end up taking up a hospital bed. It costs, when, if you, they just gave, you gave them treatment early, and they got some treatment and a breathalyzer, or an inhalator, not a breathalyzer. I haven't had much sleep in the last 48 hours, so. What they'll say is, well, it costs too much money. But you know what? It would cost about the same as what we would spend. It over the course of 10 years, it would cost what it would cost us. All right, okay, we're going to. It would cost us about the same as it would cost for about. Hold on one second. I can't hear myself. But I'm glad you're fired up, though. I'm glad.
Well, wasn't that something?
Well, all I could say, Bobby, you son of a bitch, where's my food? You son of a bitch.
Oh, and you know what? I forgot this, gentlemen. I forgot
this. Yes. Okay.
Hang on.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points. And may God have mercy on your soul.
I've
got
to be honest with you, mate. At the end of that speech, I was expecting it. Ain't nobody got time for that. I was just expecting that to come up.
But Tom, I mean, he's supposed to be, and Kel and Tim, he's supposed to be, you know, the president of the United States. He's just sound like a rambling madman who didn't know what he was talking about. He tried to use words and saying Budweiser. So he had beer on his mind, so he was probably pissed when he was making that that little speech there. How embarrassing. Ladies and gentlemen, and especially to our American listeners out there, we feel for you. I mean, when you've got this incoherent idiot, a president making a stupid speech like that, I mean, for goodness sake, you must just shake your head and say, oh, my God, when's he going? Let's get someone who's got some common sense and that will run this country the way it should be run. And we, as I say, we've got the same problems with the Camerons and the Clegg sort of situation in our country as well. So we feel for you, our brothers and sisters in America. Your thought behind what he said, what a load of crap he was talking about.
Oh, Toitus ran away from him, the teleprompter of the United States. Yeah, it ran away from him. Toitus. Teleprompter of the United States. Yeah, it ran away from him.
Well,
with an inhalator or an exhalator or whatever you call those things. And you don't need to take up. You don't need to do. It's unfortunate in that emergency room. Do I need to go on?
I quite like that abbreviation, Kel. The TOTUS of the United States. TOTUS. I mean, it says it all, doesn't it? When if you say he's the TOTUS of the United States, what am I thinking of? What's that little creature with a shell on its back? Yeah, that's it. The TOTUS of the United States. He's a turtle disaster. That's what he is.
A turtle disaster. I love it. A turtle disaster. Very good, Tim. What can I say? It was embarrassing listening to it, and I think most of us was cringing, you know, to think that he's got big powers, isn't he, this guy, and he just rambles on. It's embarrassing. Do you know what, Tom and Tim, and I'd like to have Obama on it. I'd like to do a debate with him on some of the politics and that.
You reckon he might come on to the EDL show? Should we book him? We have to give him a day or two's notice. We'll have to probably give him a day or two's notice. But yeah, I reckon
would you like to get your teeth into Obama, Tim? I know you would.
Oh, I certainly would. I'll start with the ankles and work up.
I know you would, Kel, wouldn't you? You'd have your trunk out, wouldn't you, Kel?
Oh, may I? May I? Please?
Yeah, go
Obama.
On.
Get over here.
Take that. But he wouldn't learn. You can give him a lot of tats, but he wouldn't learn.
You know, I saw a video of Barack Obama during his presidential campaign. I saw it on YouTube. I'll have to find the link for you. When he's up there, he goes, "So far we visited 57 states, so just 5 more to go." I thought, what?
He's always making bloopers, Tommy, isn't he?
I was sat with my grandma the night watching Weakest Link, just having me tea, and she goes, a question comes up, what famous German leader is the capital of North Dakota? And she goes, Hitler. I went, Hitler, North Dakota? I went, no, it's Bismarck. No, it'll be Hitler. I went, well, why are the name of the city after Hitler, Grandma? Well, I don't know. It's how she used to live in North Dakota in the 60s.
I know, Tommy. What was
the capital of?
I was going to say, guys, we need to, because we should have done this a little while ago, but we wanted to listen to what you had to say when you come in, especially about Andy. So I'm pleased to hear that his spirits is high. So Tommy, once again, thanks for doing all what you've done, boy. But I was going to say, Kel, can we have a quick roll call? Because we've had a very busy chat room this evening, and we were a little bit late in doing a roll call. But could you possibly do a roll call for the great people that we've had in the chat room this evening, Kel?
I most certainly can, Jeff. And we really do want to thank everybody for being here. Of course, you're listening to the EDL radio show, and your host is Jeff Mitchell. His panelists this evening has been Tim Burton, Tommy English, and Kel Fritzy. We want to thank Wahabi for calling in, and we also want to thank our sweet Sue from New Mexico, who is joining us in the studio. But there are all sorts of people that have been here tonight, Jeff, and that includes, of course, Angel M, Bigfoot, Kath, Shift Vic, Dodgy Dave, Eric Kyle, numerous guests, and, of course, Holger Awakens.
Yay.
Moving forward, who is our Wahabi, Azua. We also want to thank people that popped in and popped out, and that includes Vito Esposito of the Radio G-Head Network, and, of course, Stanger, my voice. And, of course, we always thank everybody who listens in archive later.
We certainly do. I've got to thank everybody. It's always fantastic when you look at the chat and you see it's busy and it's bouncing around, and we try to keep up the speed, and we get with some of the comments.
Absolutely. Yeah, and what I like to do, though, is that because the sidebar tends to jump on me, and I just want to ensure that I do get everybody for you, Jeff, and, of course, that's you, me, Tim, Tommy, Angel, Bigfoot, Kath, Chick Thick, Dodgy Dave, Eric Kyle, numerous guests, Holger Awakens, Moving Forward, Azua, Vito, Stanger, and Sweet Sue from New Mexico. So there you go, Jeff.
Thank you. Kel, thank you so much. You always do a great roll call there. Got to thank you all, guys, for supporting the show like you always do. It's always great when you see people turning up in the chat room. Tonight I thought I was going to be running late. I had a bit of a freeze up, didn't I, Kel? And I think I started to panic, but I just managed to call through because Kel, you were going to take over, wasn't you, for me? Because I was having a few issues there, but we just managed it, didn't we? By the skin of our teeth, didn't we, Kel?
Oh my gosh, I was in the studio. Actually, Sue and myself, we were both in the studio, and it's like, oh my gosh, where is Jeff?
I know. But you know, it's like yourself, Kel. We that's the trouble, isn't it? When you do live shows, all sorts of things happen, and you know it's like yourself with your pop-ups, Kel, when you get a freeze on
your
screen. And,
oh, yeah.
My goodness me. And you get a death wheel going around, and you think, oh, my God, try refresh, Jeff. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what I'm saying. This is the sort of things that you don't probably experience it your side. I mean, you just hear us all being calm and collect, but you know, we've all been pulling our hair out and trying to get things up and running so that we can go straight into the live show. But sometimes there's a few technical issues. And we've had them quite a lot lately, haven't we, though, Kel? It's not as if it's just infrequent. It's quite a frequent thing that we all experience certain issues, maybe like freeze or you know, you just can't get into Blog Talk Radio sometimes, can you? This is the problem that we get as well. But I'm sure these things, we still manage it, and the show must go on. We all say that, don't we, guys? The show must go on. So I hope everybody's enjoyed what we've done tonight. As I say, Friday is always a special night for myself, for Kel, for Tim, for Tommy. I was a little bit surprised. We didn't see Sonny tonight. Like, he's probably a little bit busy himself. But it was great listening to him last night, though. So hopefully he'll be sort of back with us this
Just
Sunday.
Just before we end this show, can I just quickly read something here? Someone can find the irony. I've just gone onto the North London anti-fascist page, and basically they've said, we are here to fight fascism, so we must counter the EDL and Peter, but please bring as many black flags as possible. Now, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't the
bring
black
as many
flag
black
stand
flags
for fascism?
As possible.
Yes. Isn't
Can you believe
fascist?
This, ladies and gentlemen? Bring the black flags, and we all know what the black flag represents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just makes me, they make me sick, these people. I just don't get it, do they, Tommy, Tim, Kel?
You can't fight fascism with fascism. That's the ironic thing.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, it just makes me so bloody annoyed, mate, you know. But thanks, Tom. We knew that we'd get a response, and we normally do from the cretins. We've got 4 minutes, guys. So, but Tommy, I'm glad that you managed to get into the studio tonight, and thanks for giving us a bit of a heads up with Andy his condition and that. And he's in high spirits, and
it's stabilised. That's the main. We expect to make a full
recovery. That's the main
just
thing.
Just the waiting. That we don't like. That's the worst bit. The waiting.
Yeah, I agree with you, Tom. But anyway, as I say, Andy's in our thoughts and prayers and his family. So hopefully things will just pick up now for Andy, and he'll go from strength to strength. So anyway. I've got to thank you, Kel, for tonight, the slides and all what you do. You give me a little message, just give me a bit of heads up now and again. And Tim, as usual, you always make me laugh, different things you say and do. And it's great to have you all here and a part of our panel and the team. So and everybody, our unsung heroes out there. You know, a lot of them, we've got a lot of people that help, you know, the cause, and So big salute to all of you that's associated with the English Defence League radio station. So we've got probably about 2 minutes left. So just a couple of words before. Did you think I should just run? I've got 90 seconds. So once again, Kel, thank you so much. Tim, thank you for what you've done this evening. Tommy, so it was great honour and privilege to have you doing your normal thing and sharing some of the things that you've been up to this week. God bless you, mate. That's for myself, Jeff, Kel, Tim, and Tommy. We're saying take care, stay safe, God bless you all, and not forgetting, no surrender. No surrender ever. And with that, we're going to go, I can't find it, Kel. We're going to go underground. I've got probably about 40 seconds now.
There you go. Jeff and Tim and Tommy, once again, I cannot say enough about joining you fine gentlemen. But what I also want to convey from Canada to Andy, love and blessings from Canada. Andy, please get well soon.
Amen to that. I've already got about 20 seconds. So, guys, we'll see you this Sunday. Don't forget, I've got 10 seconds. We're going underground. No surrender. I had about 10 seconds to play the closing theme there. But ladies and gentlemen, we are once again into archives. So, my goodness,
I'm going to have a fun and echo for that.
I know you will find one, girl. But, as I say, sometimes all of a sudden the time just goes so quick at the very end, doesn't it, Kel? You know, I wanted to everybody to say their final thoughts of the evening, but, you know, the time just runs away with you, you know, so I'm glad you managed to get in there, Kel.
Not enough hours in the day. I know.
Oh, you
believe
know
me.
It.
Believe me. Tim and myself, we can certainly vouch for that one, because when we get into a topic on the Monday show and the Tuesday show, it is like, where
know.
Does the time go? Because it's like you just get into the middle of something, and it's like you're getting that English lady whispering in your ear, 90 seconds.
Yeah,
and it's like,
you know it. Yeah, you know it, Kel. That's this is it. I mean, it's just amazing, because we do get on a bit of a roll, don't we? And all of a sudden, we're not looking at the clock because we're too engaged with the conversation I might be having with Tim, or might be having with yourself, or Tommy, or one of our guests, or something like that that's happening. And you do get carried away with the flow, don't you, a little bit, you know? Sometimes they say
I wouldn't say that we get carried away. I would say that we get engaged and that we're animated about a topic, and our passion really resonates with the listeners.
Yes.
That's what I would think. Yeah,
I think so, Kel. And as I say, that is something that that we do. I mean, I was on a bit of a rant tonight. I really want to get it off my chest. You know, there's that
did
moment.
Did you, Jeff? I never noticed. Did you notice, Kel? I never noticed. Yeah. Did you?
I didn't notice a thing, Tim.
I didn't notice a thing. No, not me. Not a thing. If you hadn't mentioned it just now, Jeff, we'd never have noticed.
I'll tell you what, though, Tim. I'll be quite honest with you. Even though, and Kel's, you both heard me on rants sometimes, the funny thing about it is I don't get hardly anybody complain about it, which you would expect, you know, because I do sometimes, you know, maybe I lift the bar a bit higher than what I normally do, especially when we talk about the Islamic slavery gangs. I get really, really vexed and very, very angry. I know you do, Tim, and I know Kel does. It just... You know,
oh yeah,
me,
I mean, you're not the only one, Jeff. I mean, I got really a little bit more annoyed than I should have done last night. I mean, I'd been reading through this article about the Islamic grooming gangs, and it just annoyed the hell out of me. And I was so annoyed that I let it get through to my words on the show last night, which I regret a little, but you know, it's just one of these things that the phenomenon that is Islam and the evil it produces throughout societies that it infects is just so pervasive that you just can't help but get angry sometimes when you read about the effects.
Absolutely.
I agree.
And Tim, oh yeah, like I understood Tim's passion completely, and that how much more do we have to put up with? And if you listen to Tim and myself at Radio Jihad Network, our closing song is How Much More, and it's like how much more do we have to tolerate?
I love that tune, by the way, guys. I do love that tune. That's a great tune, actually.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's called How Long, isn't it, Kel, that song?
Yeah,
How
Much. Exactly. And when I do the Friday show and I'm alone, I'm pretty much unfettered. And that Eric Kyle, he made me my own banner, the F-bomb show, because people are wondering when people lay bets. And they say, I give her 20 minutes. No, I give her 25. No, I give her 35 minutes before she drops the F-bomb, because how much fucking more do we have to put up with?
There you go.
Hey,
there you
well
go.
Done, Kel. Yay, there we go, Kel.
Oh, yeah, I've got my own banner and everything. everything now, thanks to Eric. Like, and but of course, we're an archive, and this is an adult program, so I just had to do that for edification, just to give people an idea of what they can expect if they listen to the Red Fox Blogger on Fridays, because I really do desk pound. I really do, because I get so passionate about issues, and things fly out of my mouth, and I cannot control myself, because this is another atrocity that has come across my desk, and I've had it. And so, Tim, last night, I totally relate to you. Believe me.
Yeah, we all do. I mean, we read some absolutely horrific stories, don't we, Tim and Kel?
Well,
and
we
sometimes
do. I mean, it is difficult sometimes, but, yeah, you know, we have to remember that we do have an audience, and we do have to sometimes tone it down a little. But all the same, I really was annoyed last night. So, yeah.
Yeah, but I think sometimes, I think people like to hear what you're all about, you know, and if it's the passion, the way you feel, you know that there's people with the same feelings yourself who get so angry like we do, that all we're doing is relaying the way that they feel. And we, you know, we're using the airwaves to even show our anger. Of it, and maybe, you know, that's why I've never, you know, and sometimes I've gone off quite a few times, and I've never had any negative responses, well, apart from the lefties would probably say something, but I've never heard anything saying, oh, Jeff, they did this or they said that. The only thing that was ever said about me was when I'd done the interview for BBC and ITV at Norwich, and the lefties referred me as the Joseph Goebbels of the EDL, which I did find extremely funny. that sort of thing to me, you know, it just makes me chuckle, because this is about as far from the truth that you can actually get, you know, that they looked at me in that way. And like Tommy said, yeah, they also made a comment. I bet he was the first person into Poland, you know. So, you know, you get things like that. But I just think it's funny, Kel. When they look at me like that, I don't find any offence in it, because I just think it's just stupid comments that they make, that they think, oh, I said this, you know, it's really funny, and you think you're just wankers, mate, you're a bunch of wankers. And that's a great word, isn't it, Carrington? Wankers. And we can use it, because we're after the watershed, so, and so what are you AF, Kel and Tim? Wankers.
Is that right, Kel? Does it mean the same thing?
See,
does it mean the same thing in Canada?
See, that's the F-bomb. What can I say?
Well, I don't know. It's really funny when you hear Americans say the wankers, you know. But that's the case. We got speakers refined, and we find these leftists and people like David Cameron a bunch of wankers. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. Oh, dear. I've gone over the top with a wanker word, haven't I?
We're just changing our show to PG-13 or PG-18 or X-rated 18. But no, sometimes it's just like I don't do outrage for the sake of being gratuitous. But I really do, though. I do get myself caught up in something, and I am very passionate, and it happens. It does. But that's why my show is in the evening, and that is, you know, it does come with a warning that it's PG-13, and I don't do it often, but every once in a while one does slip out. But I do agree with Tim, and that we do have an audience, and that we have to show deferment towards. And it's hard, though, some days. It's hard when you read the story.
I mean, to say, okay, I've used a few expletives on the archives. I hope that people listen to the show, and what I've said hasn't been too offensive, and you know, don't put your fingers in your ears, kids, or anything. You know, because we do try not to be, because we've heard other people care, haven't we? And they're effing this and effing that, and it really it makes you cringe, doesn't it? You know that, Kel, and Tim. If you hear people and continually use the F word, it just loses. I don't know. It just puts you off, doesn't it? When you hear that, but that's what I hope we don't do. Now and again, we get a little bit angry, and we do maybe drop a few.
But it's not gratuitous, is it? I mean,
no,
it's
not.
Reason,
far from it.
No.
As you say, it's just like as you know, Tim, you get angry, and sometimes it's just the way that you express yourself, and I hope our listeners understand that sometimes your passion with the things that we talk about and the injustices and young kids being abused and things like that really makes myself and Kel and Tim and a lot of you good listeners who listen to the show very angry. So I mean, it's the only way that we can really express ourselves. I mean, we let go now and again, and it happens, doesn't it, guys? We've all done it, and none of us are without that sin of dropping an F word or whatever, because we all do it, because we're only bloody human, isn't it? That's it. That's the point. But anyway, I'm going to say, Kel, you've got. I was going to say, this is what I want to know a little bit. Your show this evening, Kel, the theme of the show for our listeners, because you get a lot of people who listen to the English Defence League radio station, been tuning in to your shows that you do. It's really great, isn't it? So for the people that's listening in, Kel, the show tonight, what's the theme and how are you going to conduct it tonight, Kel?
Well, tonight I am going to be discussing the southern border in the United States and Mexico, southern border, and that Bigfoot actually brought this to my attention this week, and that five Somalians were arrested at the Mexican-U.S. border crossing, and they were feigning that they were hapless Mexicans just looking for a better life, and that this is a phenomena that we're dealing with, and I spoke with Mike Holt about this in the past, of course, and that the current Australian government is turning back boats arriving at Australia because they're getting sick and tired. What is going on is that these people spend big, huge amounts of money to board an airline, and then they get to the closest destination of democracy, whether it be Australia, the UK, the United States, Canada. They rip up their passports and they feign to be something else. And so we're fed up. We've had enough of it.
Well, it's good to see that you're doing that. That's it. I can imagine that it's going to be a highly evocative a show that you're going to have this evening, like it normally is. So, and I think you might have Jim as one of your guests as well.
Yeah, Jim from Boston will probably be joining me this evening because I was speaking with him, and I was saying, Jim, like, what do you think about this? And he was just, he was having conniption fits. And he said, yeah, if my work permits me, I want to be there for that show on Friday. But I also want to say something, if I may toot my horn a little more, is that my last Friday show was one of my most successful shows in that made the top of page 2. And so I want to thank all the listeners for that. Yeah, that the theme last Friday was Where's the Outrage? And people were rather receptive. So I want to thank everybody for that one.
There you go. It just goes to show you that the show's it does really grab the imagination of people, and it makes it that you want to switch on just to see exactly what's been going on here, and the, you know, where do we see the outrage with these Muslims, because we don't hardly see anything. And that show was a great show, Kel. I did listen to that, and I thought it was one of your really good ones, I've got to admit. I was very, very impressed. So I'm looking forward to... I might tonight, because I've got to be up early tomorrow, I'll try to catch a little
you
bit of
the show.
You listen
to the archive. You and Tim, gentlemen, you're still 5 hours ahead, although for 3 weeks you'll only be 4 hours ahead. So that's
yeah,
a bit of a treat
point.
For me.
Yeah.
That's very true, yeah.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? It is like a twilight zone sometimes, isn't it, Tim, you know, with the... You know, sometimes you might be talking to Mike Holt, and he's about 11. I think it's 11 hours on from us, isn't it, Tim? Something like 11 hours from us. And
I think it's 10 hours. 10 hours.
10, is it, Tim?
Well, actually, hang on. Let me think. Are you speaking about Mike Holt?
Yeah, he's
up at 6 in the morning when we're at 8 in the evening.
He's 8 hours ahead of you guys.
8 hours ahead. All right. Okay. Yeah, that would be right, yeah.
Yeah, as I say, so... You know, so many people, so many of our dear friends who live in different parts of the world that, you know, everybody's got maybe a different time zone, especially with the internet, with people like Kel, who's our international, one of our radio co-hosts and producers. You know, it's just amazing that it's such a global a radio theme. That we've got, mate, it's just amazing, isn't it, Tim? We've often said that, but it's just these time zones, isn't it? It does mess us up a bit, doesn't it? The twilight.
Yeah, and there is something called the Atlantic Ocean that's kind of in the way.
It's a big
yes,
old ocean,
damn,
isn't it, Kel?
Damn that Atlantic Ocean! I say, damn it! Damn that Atlantic Ocean! Damn that pond! Yes.
Yeah, bloody big pond, isn't it, Tim?
Yeah, that's right.
But then again, it's just amazing, the technology that, we're at the end of, end of a phone or, watching on or listening on Skype, and that's it. It just brings everything together, you know, people from all over the world. So I'm getting a little personal message. I love these little pop-up messages. It's really, really cool. But, Kel, I reckon you probably got another winner tonight. It sounds really interesting what you're saying. And that's what I mean. It gives people a theme. If they're listening to the archives, they think, watch a bit of telly and then I'll tune in to Kel's show a little bit later. And that's pretty good. And... as I say, like with yourself, Tim, I think you're loving this, the part of the old radio scene now, aren't you, mate? It's opened up a no-no world for you, isn't it, really, mate?
Well,
you know?
I'm quite surprised in the way that things have developed, as I've frequently said, because prior to this, I'd write me occasional essay and I'd get on Twitter and... all of a sudden, here I am talking on the radio, and what's more, people do seem to like what I've got to say. You know, I don't wish to be big-headed.
No,
you're not big-headed at all. You are a natural for the microphone, the excitement that you generate with the listeners is absolutely out of this world, Tim. You and what you have to say generates globally. Like, people want to hear what you have to say. You have got quite a little fan base going on there, Tim. The best thing I ever did was introducing you to Jeff and asking you to be my Monday co-host, and that we are generating information out there. Tim, you make me smarter.
that's very kind of you to say.
I would say... It's strange old world the way that things happen. But yeah, I would say that Tim, you brought a lot to Blog Talk Radio with the way that you speak about things, the passion, the way that you you speak about things and the way that you can sort of take things apart and examine it. It's so important that we have people like yourself with those abilities to be able to do that. And you do it very well, and may you continue to do that, because, as I say, it's really good, well, and I think it's engage. You really engage the minds of people with exactly what's going on. And,
I have to say, I do feel very privileged to be able to make a difference, you know, be it ever so small. And what I've found is I've made an awful lot of friends through Blog Talk Radio, and it's been a very enlightening experience, a very humbling experience in many ways. And
I'd say the same myself, Tim. You know what, Tim? Me and you do think alike on that, because I do feel very humble and privileged to have met some absolutely fantastic people, you know, along the ways, you know, with my journey with Blog Talk Radio. Meeting Kel was probably one of the greatest things that I'd done. You know, I didn't realise, I just heard this lady with a passion, and I thought, you know what, this lady, I think she could do really, really well, you know, at the time it's the East Anglian CDO Radio Show. I think she'd be really a great accompaniment, you know, for the show, with her expertise in different things and the way that she does things. And that's what I'm saying. It's just been an amazing journey, and you know, people, it's been just fantastic, Tim. And I'm like you. I'm very, very humbled to have met so many great people, and a person I always look to as well is our dear friend Holger. Holger's been a little bit of a mentor to myself and to Kel, hasn't he? You know, he's always been, he's got wise words to say at the right times. He's and sometimes you should listen to Holger, and you'd think, yeah, that's pretty cool. And so you do learn from each other, don't you, Kel? We learn from each other as we go along.
Oh, absolutely, we do. And I always tease Tim about this, and I'm going to make him blush, but he is my Henry Higgins to my Eliza Doolittle.
Oh, there you go. Whoa. Hey.
By George, she's got it.
Yeah, what a compliment, Tim. I like that.
He even teaches me in elocution. So there you go.
Electrocution. Sometimes Tim pulls me out on the electrocution, don't you, Tim?
Yeah. Well, you know,
electrocution. Elocution.
I've been teaching.
Yeah, that's the word.
Kel,
electrocution, Kel.
I've been teaching her the right way to say oi oi.
I love you.
I've been teaching Kel the right way to say oi oi. Because that's right, isn't it, Jeff? You've got to get the pronunciation absolutely right.
Yeah, that's my elocution lesson, how to say
oi oi.
Oi oi.
Oi oi. That's right.
And I teach you how to say
oi. Before we get, I was constipating the show this evening just before we come to the... I do mix my words up now and again, you know.
Yeah.
It's,
very good, Jeff.
No, yeah, Jeff, it is just so darn fantastic. But I have a funny feeling that English lady is going to come here and kick us.
Yeah,
well,
so
I
better get moving.
I don't know. You know, you never know what might happen with this with the radar. But I was going to say... you've got a show to do in probably an hour and 5 minutes, Kel. So I know.
I'm already.
Are you changing the long flowing dress that you've been wearing this evening? And are you going to put another tiara on tonight, Kel? It's a special.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get out of the long flowing white ball gown with the gloves up to my shoulders, and I think I'm going to don my black slinky dress and my stilettos.
Yeah, there you go. And Tim, you're going
to
put
some
clothes on tonight.
Hey, me? No, I'm just going to sit here.
I can get the picture of you, Tim, at the piano with that in the bow tie.
Yeah.
Oh, we do have fun, don't we?
Oh, boy.
That's what I, you know, I always love this time of the night, don't you, though, Tim, where we just, you know, we just, I don't know, we just have a bit of a muck about. And I hope the listeners, you know, you enjoy this part of the show as well, guys, because it's just us just being good friends, just having a bit of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, we're just sitting around the kitchen table now. The slippers are on, and we have our mug of teas in front of us, and we're just, all three of us, we're just sitting around the kitchen table with our mug of teas, and we're chatting back and forth. Yeah, I love the archive. Yeah,
I'll tell
I love
you
it.
What, though, I've just seen someone needs to just hang about.
Silence! Gilly, I kill you! Gilly,
oh my God! Is he in the studio again? Oh my God! Ekman, get out! Get out! And quit leaving a mess. Every time this guy comes into the studio, Jeff, he doesn't take off his sandals. He leaves sand all over the place. He gives me such he gives me such housework to do. I have to vacuum up the sand, and I have to clean up his ashtrays and coffee cups. Oh my goodness, Ekman, go away!
No, it's not just that. It's all those bloody flies he brings with him.
Every
slime is a
swarm
of flies.
Too. Oh, yeah, the guy's messy. He's not polite.
Oh, my God, that flowing beard of his. It's infested. Oh, it's
Hannah
horrible.
Beard.
Well, we need... We've got to get that bloody fumigator in again, Keltroom. Oh,
yep.
I don't know. Little bugger. We
do.
Hang about. He's still in the... Kel, get him out. Look at him.
Silence! I kill you!
Little bugger, get out!
Okay. You know what? Okay. I'm taking off the gloves. I'm getting my pepper spray out. Get out.
Get him,
Kel. I'm going to get the taser down here next.
Zap him! Little bugger, isn't he, Tim?
Zap.
Isn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
He's coming back. I thought you'd grab him, get him in an headlock, Kel, Tim. You knew about the old kung fu.
Yeah. That would be a lovely sight. Me wrestling Ekman in my ball gown. Cinderella meets Ekman.
Oh, well.
Ekman.
I know. He's a little bugger, though.
Middle Earth.
But anyway,
there's the dark stormy skies behind us, and the mountains silhouetted, and you can hear that rather formidable music, and there's Kel in her ball gown wrestling with Ekman.
Well, that's a movie I'd pay good money to go and see.
Yes, mate, I agree with you. But anyway, is he definitely gone there, Kel? Did you make sure you zapped him out of the way? I hope so, anyway. He's an annoying little bugger, though. He's persistent,
he just pops
up
whenever he feels like it. He's so rude.
Yeah. It's the word persistent. Persistent. Anyway, guys, Tim and Kel... have we got a nice exit theme for this evening?
I do have one picked out, Jeff, and I think that this one would be a beautiful exit tune. And it's not only because I'm celebrating 25 years of marriage, but it's also because Tommy brought us great news regarding Andy and that he's on the road to recovery.
Yes.
And plus, too, I am getting a little personal again, but my one of my very best friends just became a grandfather today.
Oh,
and so
I
picked this tune. I thought it would be appropriate for everybody and anybody that's having a banner day. And that if you have a birthday or if you have an anniversary or if you celebrated a new life, that
exactly.
This song is for all of us.
But I was going to say, Kel, just before you play the exit thing, can we also have a big salute to all the boys and girls that took part in the Grantham demonstration and how productive that was, that it was a victory, that there's not going to be this community, this Islamic
wonderful.
Community center. So we're celebrating a lot this evening, aren't we, guys? So
we are,
with
and we're also, yep. And while we're at it, this song, it goes out to all of our troops as well.
I mean,
fight to ensure that we sleep well at night. We sleep safe at night.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kel.
Here we go, gentlemen.
Thank you, Kel.
Why do I find it hard to write the next line?
great exit tune for this evening, Kel. And all I've got to say to you is enjoy the rest of tonight, celebrating your anniversary. I hope you have a lovely Chinese. I know you will. A successful show later on this evening. I know you're looking forward to it, and I know it's going to be another good one. So, once again, Kel, thanks for all that you've done this evening. Fantastic. Fantastic job. And I'd say have a great rest of the evening. And you've probably got about 50 minutes, Kel, for your show. So, give you a little time to...
I do. I've got about 40 minutes, but I've got all my notes in front of me. I'm ready to go. And believe me, I am going to be raising Cain again, Jeff.
You certainly are, young lady. Well done. Give all my best, and tell him to enjoy today and tomorrow as well. From me to you and to Mike as well. Okay, there, darling.
You bet, I will.
Okay,
Jeff.
So with that,
have a wonderful evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining Jeff and myself and Tim and Tommy. It was once again a blast to be here, Jeff.
Now, well, bless you, Kel, and as I say, just enjoy the rest of this evening, and I will catch up with you a little bit later. So that's from myself, Kel, Tim, Tommy, and of course, not forgetting Wahabi, him as well. It was great. From us all, this is the English Defence League radio station. Comedy Central this evening. Take care, stay safe, and we'll be back again this Sunday with Kel. Would you like to say who we got as a guest? Naomi.
Will be joining us. Naomi Cuffey of the EDL and I am so looking forward to it, Jeff. I can hardly wait to speak with her.
I know.
It's going to be great.
Me too, Kel. I think it's going to be a fantastic show. Anyway, Kel, better go, because you've got to get on. You're a busy lady, Kel. She's here. She's there. She's there, be bloody well. Kelly Fritz. Kelly Fritz. She's here. She's there. She's there, be bloody well. Kelly Fritz. She's like a Scarlet Pimpernel, ladies and gentlemen. They seek her here. They seek her there. They seek Kel Fritzy everywhere. They can't tie her down. Am I right, Kel?
Oh, Jeff. That's me.
That's you, Kel. Ladies and gentlemen, Kel has always been my wingman. She'll always be, continue to be my wingman. God bless you, Kel. I know what you do. And fantastic work everywhere. The world is ablaze with every time people turn the radio on. There's Kel. they go here. There's Kel. She's here. She's every bloody where. Fantastic. Well done. My goodness me. The fox has sleeps with one eye open with a script in front of her.
Better believe it, babies. You bet.
Anyway,
issue,
I'm
going to
let you go.
I'm on it.
I'm eating all your time.
Yeah.
Up your valuable time, babe. You have a great evening, Kel.
You too. It was a fantastic show. And I'll speak with you on Sunday, definitely. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. It was a blast once again.
Have a lovely weekend, till I see you soon, Kel. If you need me, just call me. Just Skype me. Skype me, Kel. Just Skype me.
You know I do anyway.
I know. It's a skibbity-scoobity Skype, isn't it, Kel? That's what we call it, skibbity-scoobity Skype. But anyway, I'll better let you go. Go on, girl. You go and enjoy the rest of this evening. God bless you, darling.
Absolutely, Jeffy. I'll talk to you later on.
Good night, guys, and we'll see you.
Good night, everybody. And
good
remember,
night,
Jeff.